listening to the two of us. Jonathan Givony is the man. If you look at ESPN.com, you'll see him all over ESPN. Their NBA draft insider, and he's just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. And it's funny, Jonathan, you don't know this at all, but for us, we have Steve Keim, Cardinals general manager, on the show. Sam Bradford, quarterback, on the show for the Cardinals. We've had hockey guys. We'll have baseball guys. And the first question to all of them is, Ayton or Doncic? And now we're going to ask you, somebody who's actually getting paid, to know the answer to this question. End the debate. The number one draft pick for the Phoenix Suns should be who?
Well, it's going to be DeAndre Ayton. I would take Doncic personally, but I'm definitely in the minority there. Both, you know, if you talk to NBA teams, you talk to scouts, you talk to media folks, you even talk to my colleague Mike Schmitz, he's also on the Ayton board. I'm a Doncic guy. I'm looking at the way that the NBA game is played now. Give me a 6'8", 230-pound point guard who can play pick and roll, can make every pass, who can make shots off the dribble, who wants the ball in his hands the last 2 minutes of the game, was made time after time, clutch play after clutch play, and, you know, is only 19 years old, and the accolades that he comes with, we've just never seen anything like that in European basketball. It's not a knock on DeAndre Ayton. He's a phenomenal talent. He's going to be a 20-10 guy in the NBA. I just, to me, with the way that the NBA game is trending, the value of big men isn't what it was, you know, 5-10 years ago.
So, Jonathan, the notion out there that the position you are is based on the position you can guard. So, Luka Doncic, do you believe he could guard point guards?
I think he's going to need another smaller guard next to him to help out with that. And I think he's much better suited guarding small forwards. But offensively, I see him as a guy that can be a primary ball handler, that can play pick and roll almost in every possession, and is going to be a guy that takes rebounds off the defensive glass and pushes it himself. You know, not all that unlike the way that he's utilized in Europe. So I do think that the defensive question marks are what are holding him back from being the potential number one pick, as well as some of the concerns about, you know, is he athletic enough to get by guys on a consistent basis? Yeah. So, that's a very valid question.
So do you believe, Jonathan, that maybe Luka Doncic is falling down some draft boards?
I just think that the way that the draft played out with the lottery, you know, you've got three teams there at the top that appear to be enamored with other guys. And so I don't know if that's as much him falling as much as this draft class is just loaded at the top. I mean, it's star central. You know, Marvin Bagley, another, you know, the second most productive player in college basketball after DeAndre Ayton. Jaren Jackson, who is, you know, a perfect fit in today's modern NBA with his ability to switch on pick and rolls, to space the floor both vertically and from the three-point line. And so, you know, you're picking from some really good options, and so it's not as much of a knock on Doncic as it is this draft is freaking loaded.
So that makes me feel a little better. Jonathan Givony, he's the guy to read at ESPN. If you go to ESPN.com, NBA Draft Insider, you specifically said it's nothing against Ayton that you're going with Doncic. So let me ask, we're not talking about Sam Bowie here. We're not talking about Greg Oden. You don't think drafting Ayton is a mistake at number one. You just like Doncic better. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a safe pick. You know, and the Suns definitely need a guy at the center position. And, you know, there's all the ties there with him in Arizona. He went to high school there. He went to college there. And so he's going to be a really, really good player for Phoenix. And I don't think – I would definitely not be criticizing that pick when they go up to the podium and DeAndre Ayton is announced as the number one pick in the draft. I totally understand that move.
Jonathan, are you tired of looking at 19-year-old kids? I mean, it's just how do you project these guys into a men's league? It's just so difficult to look at a 19-year-old kid and say you're going to be this kind of player. Is it as difficult as I believe that it is?
I don't think it is, because, you know, nobody's batting 1,000 on this. You know, even the best NBA talent evaluators have made mistakes. And so, you know, I understand that there are hundreds of variables involved in whether a guy, you know, reaches his full potential or not. And a lot of them are things that we can't project at this stage. You know, the situation that they go into, their coaching staff, the teammates you surround them with, you know, injuries creep up. There's so many different things. And I mean, am I tired of it? No, because, you know, I'm doing, this is my dream job. This is what, you know, this is what I grew up. I didn't think that I was going to be, I don't think this job existed, you know, 20 years ago when I was a kid, but this is what, I mean, I grow up every day. I wake up every day with a smile on my face because I get to watch basketball and write about basketball and meet basketball players, talk to basketball people. And so to me, there's nothing better in the world than that.
One of the biggest compliments, Jonathan, if you just tuned in, this is Jonathan Givony. He's the ESPN draft insider for ESPN.com. One of the biggest compliments to Doncic was turned around to an insult by one of the favorite Phoenix Suns of all time.
I don't trust the foreign competition. I have nothing against foreign players. I just don't know what type of competition. And they're like, at 18 years old, he was the MVP. Well, that tells me he played against competition.
And now that's Charles on the Scott Pollard podcast saying, if you're if an 18-year-old is dominating men, then don't tell me that they're really that good. When you hear something like that, how good is the European League in comparison? Why is Doncic, it's a compliment that he's dominating men, or is it show really how good those men are?
I mean, it just seems ignorant to me. If you look at, you know, the NBA right now, I mean, it's dominated by international players, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, Dirk Nowitzki, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert, Steven Adams, Marcus Gasol. I mean, you can just go on and on. I mean, Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. I mean, so to say that, you know, international player, I mean, it doesn't, aren't just because he's foreign, you don't believe in him. That to me, that sounds xenophobic. I think it's come out of ignorance, you know, but I mean, what am I, you know, who am I to judge?
So when you look at DeAndre Ayton, is there a comp out there, Jonathan, you could give us for DeAndre Ayton? Is there a comp out there that you could give us for Luka Doncic, right? Some of Marvin Bagley III, is there a comp out there that you could project? Because to me, again, I think it's really difficult to project 19-year-olds into a man's league. But give us some comps on those three guys, if you don't mind.
Sure, I don't have a problem doing it. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't feel like it's the most productive thing to do, you know, because, you know, these guys are all going to be their own players, and there's no perfect one-to-one comparison. But, you know, when you talk to NBA teams, they definitely do it. So yeah, you hear the comparisons out there, you know, with Ayton, people compare him to Joel Embiid offensively, just in terms of the polish, the skill level, the body, the mobility, the ability to dribble, pass, and shoot, mm-hmm. you know, with a frame like that, you know, 260 pounds. So, you know, with the potential to put on more. I mean, Joel Embiid was 240 pounds a year before he was drafted to the NBA, and now he's, you know, somewhere between 290 to 295. So I think DeAndre Ayton is going to get as big and strong as he wants to, but he's always going to have that mobility as well as the ability to step outside and make three-pointers. He can pass it. He can handle it. He can really do everything offensively, and the question marks are on the defensive side, where that's where the Joel Embiid comparisons fall apart to a certain extent for me personally. I mean, Embiid was a difference maker in college defensively, whereas Ayton was, you know, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Part of that was because he was playing out of position and playing power forward, which was, you know, his own decision. So he's got a lot of work to do on that end of the floor in terms of his instincts, his ability to anchor a defense, to protect the rim. I do think he shows a lot of potential with his ability to switch onto smaller players. He's got very good feet. You know, he's never been really a dominant defensive player. And part of that is because he's never really been coached on that end up until he got to Arizona. And so he's behind. And you hear the same things about Marvin Bagley. He's always been a guy that, you know, teams were built around him, and it was always catered to, you know, him producing stats as opposed to, you know, being in winning situations mm-hmm. where he's going to be challenged. You know, so Bagley, you hear a lot of Amari Stoudemire comparisons. I think he really is that type of athlete. He's that type of finisher. He's that type of rim runner. He plays with a tremendous motor. He's a terrific rebounder. You know, again, there are question marks about him defensively. It's, you know, the track record of guys in his mold who averaged, you know, under a block and a steal per game with the minutes he played is very, very poor. And so that's definitely a red flag and something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on. Mm-hmm. He's another guy that shows potential in terms of the ability to switch, you know, hedging on pick and roll, which is very important in today's NBA. Just the question mark is, you know, what kind of big man do you pair him with? Is he a guy that plays the five with a bunch of wings, or is he a guy that plays the four with another center? And then who does he guard in those situations when everybody inevitably goes small, because that's the way that's just the league is now. And so those are some of the things that he's going to have to overcome, but there's no question about the talent. There's no question about the athleticism. And I have no doubt that he's going to be productive. You know, we keep mentioning 20 and 10, but I do think that those are realistic stat lines for both of those guys, you know, moving into their second or third year in the NBA.
Jonathan, owe you a beer. Thanks for your time.
Thank
Great talk.
You, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.